Genesis chapter 36, verse 12, and I'm going to use this passage of Scripture as a starting point, okay? Genesis 36, verse 12, and Timnah was concubine to Eliphaz, Esau's son, and she bare to Eliphaz Amalek. These were the sons of Adah, Esau's wife. God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, as we do our very best to slow down tonight and have Bible study, God, to teach a little bit, God, help us right now, God, each and every one, Lord, to take our Bibles, follow along, God, and take this, what's going to be said tonight, dear God, and do our very best to fight this enemy that we're going to fight. God, we love you. We thank you for your word. Amen. And we'll praise you for all you do, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. When you hear the word Amalek, and anytime you hear the word Amalek in the Bible, that's talking about a man or a people in the Bible, but it's also always a type of the flesh. Okay? Understand that Amalek is a type of the flesh. Let's look at the origin of Amalek. Verse 12, I just read to you, Esau's sons she bare to Eliphaz, Amalek. These were the sons of Adah, Esau's wife. Amalek was the grandson of Esau. Now, most everybody knows who Esau was, Jacob and Esau. Esau represents the fleshly man, okay? The Bible says, and I'm going to read Genesis chapter 25. The Bible tells us in verse 29, and Jacob sawed pottage. And Esau came from the field and was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. In other words, Esau comes in from hunting. Esau was a hunter. He comes in from hunting and he is hungry. And listen, we've all been hungry. I was a little bit hungry today. But I ain't selling my birthright. So we see that Esau is driven by his flesh. He is willing to get rid of the blessing that his dad is going to bestow upon him and his whole generation just for something to eat. See, that's the flesh. Amalek coming from Esau is something being born out of the flesh. The flesh, now listen, the flesh is not something that you and I have to learn. You're born with it. Amen. Who was it you said something the other day, Dallas, about what's the first thing you got to teach a child to share? I mean, this is mine. You ain't getting it. That's how most kids are. I want mine, and I want yours, and I want Robert's. You don't have to teach a child the flesh. The flesh is already there. And I'm telling you right now, the older we get, you would think the older we get, the better it would get. But sometimes the worse it gets. So the origin of Amalek, the flesh, is not something we learn. We're born with it. The Bible says in Psalms 51, verse 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. So we all deal with the flesh. Now, maybe some folks don't deal as hard with the flesh as other folks deal with the flesh. But you still deal with it. Some of y'all are dealing with it right now. I'm just being honest. So the origin of Amalek. Now, don't you notice something about Amalek or the flesh? It always attacks the weak. The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 17, remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way, when ye were come forth out of Egypt, how he met thee by the way and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God. The flesh don't fight fair. Any of us in here that fights the flesh know that the flesh don't fight fair. It'll attack you when you're tired. Amen. I'm just going to pick on Dallas. Me and Dallas was talking a little bit before service. Dallas said, I had to talk myself into coming to church tonight. How many has ever had to do that? I had to talk myself into, the flesh says, you tired. It'll be all right. The preacher ain't going to miss you tonight. You deserve a day off. He tells me that on Sunday morning. So the flesh don't fight fair. And the flesh comes after you when you're tired. And have you ever noticed that sometimes the flesh will come after you when you had a victory? I mean, you have a great service on Sunday morning, and I'm talking about, and you come back on Sunday night, and it's just out the banks. It can't get no better. And then Monday morning, then you go to work, and the flesh hits you right between the eyes. The flesh tries to attack those just tired, those just spiritually weak, those just discouraged. See, that's when the flesh really jumps on you. I had a friend of mine, and I'm not going to call any names, but a preacher, a godly man of God, a preacher, and somebody said something to him, and it just got him a little bit discouraged, and then he just let the devil just whip up on him. You don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. See, and that's the problem. How many of us have ever talked to the flesh? How many of us has ever talked ourselves into doing something stupid? Amen. Everybody say amen right there. Because if you don't say amen right there, you're a liar. Amen. I mean, that's how the temptation often comes after a victory. But it's never random. Satan knows what he's doing. It's never random. The Bible talks about Amalek, how they would come in and sneak in behind. And you know, the feeble and the weak would always be in the back. All the older folks would be in the back. And that's the ones that Amalek came in and attacked. It's just dirty and don't fight fair. But it ain't never random. There's always a purpose behind it. Now let's look at the first battle with the flesh. That we find when the children of Israel come out of Egypt, the very first battle with Amalek they fight is found in Exodus chapter 17. We all know the story of when Moses and Aaron and Hur held up Moses' hands when the battle was going on. The Bible says, and then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hands that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hands, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. The first battle coming out of Egypt was with the flesh. I'd almost venture to say the first battle that you ever faced as a Christian was with the flesh. Prove it. I can prove it to you. How many of you, when you got saved, you got home and the devil said, you ain't saved?
Yep. That's right.
You ain't, that ain't nothing to it. You ain't saved. That's the flesh. Amen. That's the devil fighting us. So their first battle, Moses, here we go again. Moses is fighting the flesh on that hill. His hands got tired. I'm not going to preach this tonight, but the Lord gave me a sermon a few months ago, and God ain't let me preach it here yet. But you understand something. That rod that he was holding up is the same rod that opened up the Red Sea. That rod he was holding up is the same rod that turned the Nile River into blood. That rod he was holding up would always do what it's supposed to do. Moses was not fighting the rod. He was fighting the flesh that day. His hands got heavy. Joshua is down in the battle in the valley fighting the other type of the flesh, Amalek. So everybody's fighting the flesh. Victory is required. And if you're going to have victory, you got to have dedication. Moses and Aaron and Hur were on top of the mountain. Moses, they were dedicated. Aaron and Hur got beside Moses. They put a rock up under him, got on each side of him, and they steadied his hands until the going down. Somebody's got to be dedicated if you want to win victory. Dedication, I believe, means Sunday morning, amen. Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Yeah. I realize sometimes we're not going to all make it. I realize that. Right. But I want to be dedicated, amen? You can't win this battle I'm talking about tonight with willpower alone. You need God. Amen. I've known people over the years that turned over so many leaves, they could have made a whole tree. And still lost and on their way to hell. Amen. You cannot win over the flesh with just willpower alone. You've got to have help. You've got to have God. Amen. Now, don't you notice that God declared war on Amalek. In Exodus chapter 17, verse 16, the Bible says this, "For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation." God did not say manage Amalek. God did not say just kind of brush it aside. God said there's going to be war. And if you've been saved for any amount of time, you know exactly what I'm talking about tonight, how there is war with the flesh every day of our lives. Amen. The flesh cannot be controlled. You hear what I said? The flesh cannot be controlled. The flesh cannot be negotiated with. How do you know, preacher? Because I've tried it all, Steve. Amen. I've tried it all. I'm just telling you, it's got to be fought every day. It's got to be opposed every day. You got to do your very, very, very best to destroy it every day of your life. Because I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, if you let your guard down for 1 minute, it's coming back. Amen. What do you mean, preacher? Well, every time Moses let his hands drop, the enemy started winning. If you let your guard down, if you let your guard down, Satan's going to win. Yep. I won't never forget, I was in a church one time, and I was preaching at this church. I just started preaching, and it was a little church in Florence. This guy got up, and he said, "I'm just telling you," he said, I want to testify tonight. He said, I made a mistake a few weeks ago. He said, "I used to have a problem with the lust of the flesh." He said, "Not that I ever did anything." He said, "But if a pretty woman walked by," he said, I let my mind go places. He said, "I prayed and I prayed and I prayed." He said, "And God helped me with that." He said, and Chucky, this is what he said, "I got a little prideful about how that I had won that battle." He said, "And just a few days ago," he said, "I was in a parking lot, and this lady got out of her car." He said, "The next thing I knowed, my mind was in the gutter." Sorry. Folks, I'm just telling you, you can't win with this. Without God, you can't win with this. Now, Amalek got to be destroyed, okay? 1 Samuel chapter 15, very familiar scripture. The Bible says in verse 2, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did unto Israel, how that he laid wait for him in the way when he came from up out of Egypt. Go now and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass." God is telling King Saul, destroy everything. Don't you hold nothing back. Now, if we ain't careful, well, that's just kind of hard. I can't believe God would say, you got to understand that there can't be no mercy when we're dealing with the flesh. We can't have no mercy. You got to kill everything in the flesh. God knows what's going on. God knows what's going to be going on down the road. God knows what you're going to be fighting down the road. And I'm going to get into that in just a little while. You can't compromise with it. You can't talk about it. You can't talk it out of it. Why was God so severe? Because God has no tolerance for the flesh. See, we are the ones that like the flesh. We're the ones, you know, I want to do what I want to do. We're the ones that tolerate the flesh. We're the ones that say, well, I've been doing pretty good, you know, just because I had a bad thought. I'm still doing pretty good. Amen. I'm not as bad as Dallas. Well, you're comparing yourself to the wrong one. Won't you compare yourself to Jesus and see how you stack up? See, we're the ones that allow the flesh. We're the ones that will, you know, we'll kill everything else. We got this one little thing. I'm just telling you, if you like most Christians, most of us in here, we've got battles that we have won. We have got things in our life that we have destroyed. We have killed it. It's gone. It's dead. But then there's something else. It's almost like that, you know, the olive tree. So you can cut an olive tree down to the ground, and that root's going to come back. That's how the flesh is. And folks, I'm just telling you, you and I cannot win this battle. Now, I want you to notice something. King Saul's failure in this battle. God come down, and God says, you destroy everything, kill everything, man, woman, boy, girl, infant, lamb, sheep, everything. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 7 through 9. And Saul, listen to what I'm going to talk, partial obedience. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuge, that they destroyed utterly. In other words, they took all the ugly people and killed them, and put the good-looking ones to the side. They killed all the deformed-looking sheep and all the ugly older animals, but they kept all the good-looking ones. Ain't that how we do? God wants us to clean up everything, but we don't. The Bible tells us in James chapter 2, verse 10. Now listen to this real close. And you need to think about what's going on in our lives right now. And whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Wow. That's the God we serve. He's not telling you, we're not going to be perfect. That's not what this is talking about. But I'm just telling you, folks, we cannot allow the flesh to continue on. A little bit of the flesh will always come back to bite you. Verse chapter 15, verse 22 says, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of ram. Partial obedience is full disobedience. And we got to understand something, folks. We're dealing with the flesh. I know me. Now, I know me. And I'm sure I'm about like every other man in this room. We deal with the flesh. And let me tell you something. Every lady does too. Every one of us. Now, don't you notice this? The flesh always revives. Amalek came back. Now, Samuel comes in. Let me just tell you the rest of the story. Samuel comes in, and basically I'm going to put it in my term. Samuel says, what's the bleating of this sheep I hear? Saul says, well, we've killed everything, but we've kept back this here good stuff. We've kept back these good ones. We're going to sacrifice that to the Lord. And basically Samuel says, oh, no, you ain't. Samuel takes out his sword and kills King Agag, chops him into pieces. Now, don't you notice something? After Saul's battle, he came back. I'm not going to read all this. 1 Samuel chapter 30, the Bible tells us that David has got his men. David is still wandering in the wilderness at this time. David's got his men. And the Bible says the Amalekites attack David's men while David and his men are out. They take all the kids. They take David's two wives. And they go off. The flesh came back. If King Saul would have done what he was supposed to do, David wouldn't have been fighting this battle. Now you go on down, between 400 and 600 years later, we find the book of Esther. Most of us know about the book of Esther. Most of us know how that there was a man in the book of Esther. His name was Haman. And Haman came up with this here plot. He was going to get rid of all the Jews. Why was he going to do that? Because his great-great-great-granddaddy was King Agag. The 600 years later, and if Saul would have done what he was supposed to do, Esther wouldn't have been fighting that battle then. How many of us in here tonight are fighting battles that our mamas and daddies should have won years ago? And if you don't fight the battle and you don't win the battle, your kids is going to fight the battle. Your kids' kids are going to fight the battle. It's going to keep right on going because the flesh is going to continue to come back. The flesh versus the spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17 says this, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. My mind goes back to the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul said, I am fighting this battle. He said, that I want to do, I don't do, and that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. He said, it's not me, but it's sin in me. That's the flesh we're dealing with. Romans chapter 8, verse 6 and 7 says this, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The flesh will always oppose everything that God wants. That's why you are having a hard time coming to church tonight. That's why you had to talk yourself into coming to church tonight. That's why these other people in here, that's why you had to talk yourself into coming to church tonight. That's why you have to talk yourself into denying the worldly things and putting God first. That's why church attendance is so important. That's why how many fight the flesh? How many of us fight the flesh in Walmart or wherever you're at when God's telling you to talk to somebody? Witness to that person. Invite that person to church. Well, I just don't know. That's the flesh. That's the flesh. When the spirit's telling you, pay your tithes, and the flesh is telling you, no, you can't afford to pay your tithes. I'm just telling you right now, that's the flesh. It's the spirit and the flesh. Now, how do you defeat the flesh? It's one thing to talk about it, but if we can't figure out how to defeat it, we lost. Number one, recognize the enemy. Your enemy is internal, not external. When you get up in the morning, Cam, when you get up in the morning and you look in the mirror, that's the enemy. I'm just telling you, I have more trouble out of me than I do anybody else on the face of this earth. Amen. That's just being honest. There's other folks that I don't get along with. I still have more trouble out of me. I know y'all ain't going to believe it. There's people out there that don't like me. I have a lot more trouble with me than I do them. Amen. You got to recognize the enemy. And number two, you got to refuse to compromise. You got to refuse to compromise. Don't keep Agag alive in your life. How many of y'all remember the movie Fireproof? How many of y'all, everybody seen Fireproof? If you hadn't seen Fireproof, you go watch Fireproof. Y'all remember that scene where he's fighting the flesh, and he's on that computer, and he knows he's not supposed to be. He's got saved. He knows he's not supposed to be looking at that computer. And he takes that computer outside, sets it up, and takes a baseball bat and beats the fire out of that computer. His neighbor thinks he's nuts. We got some things in our life we need to take outside and take the baseball bat and just beat it right down. Don't compromise. Don't compromise. I'm just telling you, when that person on your job is flattering their eyes at you and they're talking all nice to you, don't compromise. Hey, if you got to put them in their place, put them in their place. I'm just telling you, the flesh will eat that up. The old devil will tell you, Wes got a new truck. You need a new truck. The old devil said, well, you need to try to keep up with Skip. That's the flesh. Don't compromise. Walk in the Spirit. The Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Romans chapter 6, verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Romans chapter 13, verse 14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. I've said this over and over and over all these years. If you got a problem with drinking, don't ride by the bar. If you got a problem with the lust of the flesh as far as the opposite sex, don't be looking at stuff that you ain't got no business looking at. Quit, turn off some of them movies that you've been watching. Don't give no provisions for the flesh. Stay spiritually lifted. Keep those hands up like Moses. Keep those hands up in prayer. Keep those hands up in praise. Keep those hands up in worship. Amen. Stay spiritually lifted. Be ruthless with sin in your life. Now listen, be ruthless with sin in your life. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Listen to how this reads. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscences, covetousness, which is idolatry. That word mortify right there, it comes from a Greek word that means to deaden or to subdue or to kill. If you know you got a problem with something, kill it. Kill it. So why God hates Amalek? Why God hates Amalek? It's not a random hatred. It's righteousness. Because Amalek is always a type of the flesh. Amalek opposes everything that God's people are for. Everything. Amalek attacks the weakest. That's why God hates it. Amalek represents rebellion and the flesh that opposes everything that God. Your flesh cannot be reformed. You hear me? Your flesh cannot be reformed. Your flesh has got to be crucified. The Bible says we are new creatures. Old things are passed away. Let me ask you a question. What's going on in your life that you're tolerating that God hates? What's going on in your life right now that you're tolerating but God hates? Is there anything? You can't make peace with what God told you to kill. And that's what the problem is with a lot of us. We're trying to make peace with what God told us to kill. I want you to bow your heads.